Well, how about it? Bob was telling me earlier, this is the 48th year that the Vikings have held training camp in Mankato. And to be here at Minnesota State again, for me, it's exciting, just like it is for all of our players. Coming off a playoff season, we're looking forward to training camp. We know the importance of it. And fortunately for me, when I was driving down, I got a text from Rick Spielman telling me that all our draft picks were signed. So I really got excited about that. That's a big deal as you're trying to open up camp and really trying to set the tone for the 2013 season. So that was really encouraging for me and the rest of our staff that we're going to have all of our guys at our team meeting tonight and not have to wonder if someone is going to get signed. So a lot of excitement, looking forward to shaping this team. Training camp is a big part of what you're trying to get done over the course of a season. And for us, you heard me say this in our OTAs and at the mandatory minicamp as well, we really believe that you can win ball games in the offseason. And this is a part of it, an extension of the OTAs, an extension of the mandatory minicamp. Training camp is a big part of that. The good news is we'll get a chance to put pads on in a few days, and then you really begin to find out and what you have and the players that you do have on your roster. So we're looking forward to that aspect of it, along with developing the camaraderie that you try to develop in training camp when you're kind of sequestered in an environment that's far different than what they'll be in when we're at Winter Park. So there are a lot of things that we're looking forward to getting accomplished. We have a lot of work to do in order for us to be a good football team, to be a team that can become a playoff team. We know we're in a very tough division. We have a lot of work ahead of us, and we're planning on getting that work done.
Coaches really push for that rookie pool. So, you know, holdouts are a thing of the past, and that's got to be pretty big for coaches.
Well, the Players Association, along with the owners, they collectively bargained for this rookie pool, and you can see, just like you said, Mark, holdouts are becoming a thing of the past. It's really working out well for both parties, it seems. You don't have guys having long holdouts now anymore, so I think that's a good thing for every team.
In the past, when guys would miss like an entire camp, did it really affect them the entire year? Their guys just didn't catch up whenever they would miss camp?
Oh, no question about it. I mean, you were more susceptible to injury as well, along with trying to get up to speed with the scheme. And the speed of the game, it affects everyone a little bit differently, but it definitely had a negative effect. You come to camp and say your number one pick ends up missing most of training camp and most of the preseason. It's kind of a bummer for the entire team. As much as you try to eliminate distractions in our business, that becomes a distraction when your key players are not in camp.
Is anyone going to be limited tomorrow when you start practice?
Probably the only guy that'll be limited will be Greg Childs at this point. We got to go through physicals throughout this day, and you hope there are no surprises. But right now, we think Greg Childs will probably be the only guy that would possibly limited, and we're probably looking at maybe him starting on PUP as opposed to trying to get him on the field.
Pretty much every story, preseason story in the Vikings says this team will go as far as Christian Ponder will take him. Is that fair, unfair?
Joe, it's a team game, and we need a lot of guys to step up. We definitely need Christian just to continue to improve, but we need the rest of our offense, our defense, our special teams to improve as well. And if we all improve across the board, we'll be a better football team, and we'll, have a chance of reaching our goals as a team. So it's not fair to say we'll only go as far as Christian can take us. We got a lot of other people that have to play well also.
And what happened specifically in Mankato to set the stage for that?
I think one of the things that we try to get done, Dan, in training camp is to develop that buy-in. We talk about this with our team all the time. In each phase of the offseason program, there are certain things we're trying to get accomplished. Well, once we get to training camp, it becomes more of a buy-in to our way of doing things. We try to lay the foundation for our schemes, our techniques, and fundamentals when we're back at Winter Park and we're just in shorts and, T-shirts. But when we get here, now we're in pads, and how we do things and how we work, you need guys to buy in, even though they come from different situations. And if you can get that, especially this time of the year, and you're not still trying to get that done during the season, you're just that much further ahead of the curve. And I think with the fast start that we had a year ago, it tells you that our players really bought into what we were trying to get accomplished and how we wanted to get things done.
about the importance of that first evening's message. What's the theme this year? Last year it was blocking out outside expectations and setting them yourself.
Well, probably for us is just being able to see the vision and then working towards accomplishing our goals as a team as much as anything. You know, we're going to paint a picture tonight about where we want to be over the course of this season, and then we got to put the work in to get that accomplished. But that's what we'll do. We'll talk about our vision for this season.
How impressed are you the way this group has kept their nose to their business this offseason? You had such great attendance at the OTA. No offseason storylines for this group. How impressed are you that the guys carried the message of last year and continued on to build on that?
Jim, I tell you, I don't take that part of it lightly. I'm gonna definitely mention that tonight. I've thought about it throughout this offseason as I've seen the different headlines across our league with some of the things that have occurred, and the fact that our players have really done a good job of staying out of the newspapers for negative things. I mean, I don't think you take that for granted. I don't. You know, I'm going to talk to them about that and what we have to get done going forward. But I think it's important. I think that's a major part of having a chance to be successful in this league, as you are changing the culture of a football team and an organization. And to go through this offseason, I was teasing Les Pico, our player development director, when I saw him yesterday. I said, not one time did I see your name flash up on my phone when I picked it up this summer. And I said, I mean, that's a good thing. It hasn't always been the case. So I'm encouraged by that.
Les, any concerns about John Sullivan, or is he pretty much ready to go for everything?
We think he's going to be ready to go. We don't foresee any changes in what we've talked about a few days ago. So now we will have to monitor his reps. We won't, you know, just throw him in there and take every rep. We're going to kind of bring him along until he gets the confidence that he has to have in that knee. But we don't see that, you know, any reason why we won't be playing him in the preseason.
Les, what does Desmond Bishop do to resolve your linebacking situation, or does he create even more injury?
I think, Brian, what he gives us is, you know, more competition at the position, and then having a veteran who has had success in our league, and hopefully he'll shore up our linebacker depth as well. So the competition that he creates, the leadership that he brings, the success he's had in our league, and his talent, hopefully will round out our linebacking core.
What's your vision for him initially? Obviously didn't have the offseason to take a look at him.
Right.
What's your initial thoughts?
Yeah, we talked about, you know, starting him off maybe on as an outside linebacker, knowing that we can move him back inside. And, you know, we're going to finalize that as we talk today. But we feel like that will be the place we want to start him at and let him continue to grow from there. Part of what we do at this time of the year, because he's coming, you know, so late in the, what we're trying to get accomplished, is get him up to speed on how we do things from a defensive standpoint, because we line up a little bit different than what he's done in the past. So we got to kind of indoctrinate him into our way of doing things from a defensive standpoint, and we think that maybe the best way of getting that done is starting him off at outside.
How do you think Aaron Henderson's going to respond to that challenge?
Well, I mean, in our league, you know, if you are a professional football player, you're putting your nose to the grindstone, and it's all of, when I talk to our players about this all the time, it's about you. I mean, you can never be looking to your left or your right and worrying about other people. You got to make sure you're getting your stuff together. And that's the only way you can help our football team. Competition, your competition is yourself. And we talk to him about that all the time. So he should be encouraged as we try to add more good players to our roster, like all of our players should be encouraged.
Is that Desmond's best position outside, or you just kind of the logistics of it, him coming in so late you have to put him there?
No, we think for us that's going to be the best position for him, and you're trying to get your best 11 on the field, Mark. So based on what we looked at on tape, we think that's the best place for him. Now, we could modify that as we get into it a little bit, but that's where we want to start him at. There's some things that we'd have to take a look at schematically if it's not a good scheme fit for him outside, or if we had trouble inside, where we felt like we needed to make that move to get him back inside. So it'll be some different factors that would matter in making that happen.
What is it about his game that makes him a good fit to play outside in a 4-3?
I think one of the things I like was the fact that he's a very good blitzer, and he has some good athletic ability, and that's what we try to find in our outside backers, guys that had the ability to be able to win one-on-one against halfbacks and fullbacks, but yet they're good in coverage as well, and they can take on lead blockers, and he's shown that he can do that.
Do you have any plan to, or is there any reason to limit some of Adrian's reps in training camp and in preseason? preseason playing time?
Probably won't see, you know, Adrian getting a whole lot of carries in the preseason. We're going to have plenty of time to get him carries, but he'll get some opportunities in the preseason. But his workload will be when we kick off the season, but not in the preseason.
Is Child's the only guy that's a candidate for PUP?
Yeah, barring, you know, something unforeseen, as we go through these physicals today, he will be the one guy for sure.
What day will you put the pads on? Which players are you most looking forward to seeing in pads?
You know, with these new rules, Tim, you know, we got to start off these first couple of days and, you know, without pads. But once we get to Monday, because Sunday's the day off us, we'll have the pads on. And, you know, the plan is to keep them on from there. But that will be today, and then we'll go from there. What was the second part of your question?
Which players are you really curious to see how they respond to pads or how they may look different?
Well, you know, with your O-line and your D-line, you really want to see those guys working pads. Because what we did up to this point in the offseason program, you know, you can develop some bad habits and bad techniques. We need to see them in pads to really get a fair evaluation. But you also want to see the rookies run around and move around in pads and see how they contact or handle contact as well. So all the positions, but in particular the O-line and D-line.
On a night before the training camp, what is the thing you think about right before your head hits the pillow tonight?
Last night or tonight? Just want to be able to see our guys come out with a lot of energy, you know, a lot of passion for what we're trying to get done and have a good, clean, crisp practice. You don't always get that on the first day, but that's the goal. But just trying to introduce them to how we do things on that first day, just a clean, crisp, energetic practice.
How's training camp different for you as a coach than a player?
Well, the training camps of today are just so, so different than the one I played. I mean, no two-a-days, a whole lot less contact. So it's a different training camp, but training camp in itself is very similar. I mean, it's the beginning of a new season in a lot of ways. So as a player, and you know, looking back at it now, I mean, just driving up to training camp, the thoughts that go through your mind as you're preparing for another season, all those things are still relevant. But the actual what you do on the field, that's the part that has really changed. The meeting times, that hasn't changed, but the preparation is still the same. So there are a lot of similarities, but there are also a lot of dissimilarities.
Have you thought to the fact that it's last year the dome for you guys?
I have thought about it. And, you know, you really want to finish strong at home in 2013 for that reason. The last year at Mall of America Field, we want to make it a special year. You know, we know we got to take it one game at a time, but it's significant to me. I'm sure it's significant to a lot of our fans. It's been a great venue to play in. I mean, I love going down there, and when our fans get into it, it's a tough place for an opposing team to play. I've enjoyed coaching there, and I'm hoping that we can have a great season at home so our fans will be able to enjoy it and get loud again and make it tough for opponents.
How important is it to have these first-round picks signed before the first practice?
Very important. As I mentioned earlier, I mean, it becomes a distraction when you don't have any of your picks, but in particular your first-round picks who you're counting on to hopefully step in our case, and help you in the first year. So the fact that they're all signed and they'll be ready to go when we line up tomorrow, that's a big deal for our football team because we're going to need every one of our draft picks like a season ago to contribute. That's one of the reasons we were able to have such a big turnaround because our draft picks contributed in a big way. We're going to need it again this season.
Biggest challenge for Christian with this group of receivers that is widely new with Webb, Patterson, Jennings, and then guys like Jarius and Jerome who are just in their second season, is just developing consistency and continuity and rhythm with that group.
Dan, that's going to be a big deal and an emphasis of ours throughout this training camp. We were able to get some things done in the offseason program from a timing standpoint, but now putting the pads on, we can do some bump and run coverages, which Carterell is going to see a lot of it once we get into the season. So the timing and the chemistry between our receivers and our quarterback will be a big part of the emphasis here in training camp. And it'll probably determine how balanced we'll become as an offense. I mean, we've got to develop that passing game where we're more balanced than we were a year ago.
Does that timing change significantly when the pads come on and there's a lot more contact?
Oh, without question. I mean, you know, you're not running against air like you were in OTAs and minicamp. It's going to be a lot tougher than it was in these previous workouts for our young guys. So this will become more like real football for our players, which is what we need.
Thank you.
Does Greg Jennings walk in here as a team leader, or is that something he kind of has to earn through Mankato and the games?
I think Greg will have the respect, Joe, of the guys because of what he's accomplished in our league. But to say team leader without being around the guys for more than a few months, that will come as time goes on. After they see his work ethic, they get a chance to visit with him in the locker room and get to know him as a person. But he'll have the respect of the players because of what he's accomplished in our league. But I wouldn't go as far as to say team leader yet.
Less in that vein, who do you expect among maybe second or third year players to step into that role? Who do you need to step into a leadership role that maybe hasn't had that in the past?
Well, one guy that I've noticed over this last year in this offseason that has really stepped up in that area has been Jamarcus Sanford. I kind of like what I'm seeing from him. He's become a verbal leader for us, and we kind of need that on defense. We need it on offense as well. It's great to have guys who lead by example, but sometimes you need a guy who can get after people a little bit too and then be able to back it up with his play. And Jamarcus has really, to me, begun to step up in that area, and we'll need a few other guys to do it as well. You know, Kevin is a staple for us. Jared's a staple for us, and, you know, we got some guys on offense that'll do that, but I love to see Kyle Rudolph take it up another notch from a leadership standpoint. Obviously, the quarterback position, he has to be a leader. It just happens by the position. You want him to continue to step up as well. And you know, I'm sure that Greg will become that force as the guys get a chance to get to know him a little bit better and watch his work ethic. And, you know, he'll be a plus for us. But, you know, Charlie Johnson, you know, seeing him step up. John Sullivan, who has all of a sudden become more of a leader. Phil Lodeholt has come along for us, and we need Phil to step up in that area. So we've got some guys that are no longer, I was telling Brian Robinson this, Brian, the same point that you just made, Brian. There was a time when he came to training camp, he was like following. He's no longer a guy that we need to follow. We need people following him. And his role has changed on our football team now, and he thought about that, and he said, you know, you're right, Coach, my role has changed. So we're going to need a guy like that to step up as well. But you need great internal leadership, I think, in order to get to where you want to be ultimately, not just be an average team or a good team, but to be a great team, you need great leadership.
If you put together a leadership council again for this year, when you have guys like Antoine gone, do you kind of have some of the names you just mentioned as guys who could take spots in there, or how does that develop as you go through camp here in terms of who's on that?
You know, I've thought about it going back through OTAs and just watching our guys and just seeing who will be some of those people on that committee this season, because the dynamics will change because, you know, we've had some changes on our roster. So, you know, kind of got to observe and just see how the guys handle themselves in certain situations and see who's going to step up and actually be the type of leader that you're looking for. But we will need some other guys to step up and be a part of the ones who can – talk to me about our team and what we're trying to get accomplished and see if we're all on the same page.
When do you want to see that, or what kind of moments stick out to you in campus to tell you somebody that can do that?
You look at how the teammates respond to certain guys. You know, some guys, you know, talking to another teammate and the teammate is like walking away, you know, not respecting him. I mean, that guy's probably, he may not have the leadership qualities you're looking for. But if people will listen, if you have the ability to influence, and that's what leaders are, that's probably a guy you want on that committee, somebody that can influence his teammates.
How many guys do you want out there?
I think we've been up to maybe 12, 13 guys. So, you know, it depends on if we have those type of guys. And I try to put, you know, almost somebody from almost every position represented. So we'll see what happens.
What is your big picture vision for this team?
Man, I hope, Dan, we can stay healthy. I hope all the guys can go out and have the best years of their careers. And like every team that's starting off today, I hope in February you guys are still working and covering the Minnesota Vikings. That's what I hope. So I'll be a happy guy. That would be my vision.
So, do you mention that vision to them at all? Can you throw that out there?
Believe me, they will hear loud and clear tonight. It will not be missed.
Time for two more.
So,
last year, don't listen to us because you say you're not a playoff team. Is this year, don't listen to them because they're making you a playoff team? I mean, it kind of goes back and forth.
Wait a minute. You got my notes, Mark? That's pretty good. Yes. That is a part of the speech, though, because I'm sure over this offseason they've had a lot of people telling them, hey, you guys are on your way. You know, you're moving in the right direction. And all that's good. But you can't forget how in our league, and Tom West was sharing this with me, it changes from year to year. You can't ever look back at a season ago and say, based on that, we're going to be a playoff team or we're going to win a championship based on what happened a season ago. And when you have, I think since 2010, four teams that have made the playoffs in that span on a consistent basis, you know, 2010, 2011, 2012, four teams were in the playoffs. I think it was New England, Baltimore, Green Bay, and one other team. Atlanta was the other team. So, you know, you're talking about different teams every year, and I got to get that point across to our team. We have to work our tails off while we're here at training camp to get ready for this season. And even though people have told them some positive things over this offseason, it really doesn't mean a whole lot if you don't do certain things to put yourself in a position to be successful.
Last one.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.